Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, the youngest of 10 children. She joined NBD as a teller, and 27 years later was the regional executive of the Retail Midwest region. In 2005, she became the president and CEO of Charter One Michigan. She's also the chair of the Parade Company and former chair of the Detroit Regional Chamber. One of the most influential women in all of Michigan, her name, Sandy Pierce. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Sandy Pierce, the president and CEO of Charter One of Michigan. Sandy, welcome and honored to have you.
Hi, Jack. Nice to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. Love to talk about my childhood. I grew up in the city of Detroit. We lived on Shane Street. We lived on top of my parents' tavern. I'm the youngest of 10 children, although my oldest brother died before I was born. So really, I grew up with 8 others. And there were 6 boys and 4 girls. My mom and dad, unfortunately, are now deceased, but I was the youngest of the clan. And we went to school at St. Stanislaus, which is about a 3 or 4 blocks away from the tavern. And my parents and most of my brothers and sisters were entrepreneurs. So I was really the first one to go into a large corporation out of the whole group.
What's the biggest thing, Sandy, you learned from your mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
I would say from both. The biggest thing they ever said to me, Jack, which has stuck with me all of these years, is that regardless of who you meet in life, Sandy, remember that every person that you meet knows something that you don't. So be a sponge and take the opportunity to learn from every single person that you meet and respect that they know something that you don't.
Sandy Pierce, what did growing up above a bar teach you?
It taught me that if you work hard and you're honest and you treat every single person that comes through that door to give you business, they are your guest, and regardless of what they look like and from where they came, you should treat them very well.
Great advice for running a bank, I guess, right?
I would say it is. You know, I started as a teller when I was going to Wayne State University for my undergraduate degree. And that's a great job to start with because you really do, you know, the tellers are the face of the bank. They're the ones that actually see 90% of the customers every single day. And they really, really understand the wants and the needs of every single customer. So if you listen to the people that are touching the customers, and we all should, then I think you can have a better business.
Tell us about being the youngest of 10.
You have to ask my brothers and sisters about that. They would all say that I was spoiled. I would say that it was like having lots of parents because they all want to take care of you and they all want to be involved in nurturing you. I had a great life. My parents were very, very busy in the bar business, and they were as involved as they possibly could be in our activities. But frankly, my brothers and sisters took me to a lot of places, to a lot of Tigers games, to a lot of Lions games and concerts and to church. And so I felt very fortunate, and I felt nurtured and loved by many, many people.
Sandy Pierce, you're the youngest of 10. You grew up above a bar. Your mom and dad ran the bar. You're the president of Charter One in Michigan. You're the chair of the Parade Company, former chair of the Detroit Regional Chamber, Crane's Newsmaker of the Year a couple times. Why you, Sandy Pierce? Why did God choose you?
I like to say that I chose God. And why was I fortunate enough to get to this level? It's because of how I grew up, not in spite of how I grew up. And one of the stories I like to tell is when I was at my former organization, MBD, and I was really kind of progressing through the ranks, I remember very clearly that as I was getting up in the ranks and being promoted, that I did not talk, I did not lie about how I grew up. I just didn't talk about it because I was always afraid that if this bank, this big bank, knew from where I came, that they might not promote me as quickly as they were. And so I just never talked about it until I became a senior vice president. And I was one of the youngest senior vice presidents that organization ever named, and certainly one of the very few females. And then when I became a senior vice president, it's when it sort of hit me like, are you kidding me? It's the reason I got to where I'm at as quickly as I did is because of all of my experiences growing up in the city of Detroit in a very diverse neighborhood. So from that point on, I promised myself and I promised my family that I would speak publicly about it as much as I could, where I grew up, how I grew up, how poor we were, and to let everyone know that you can achieve anything you want in life if you have the drive and the initiative, the drive, the desire to be, then you can be. And I realized it wasn't my background that was holding me back. It was my background that was enabling me to become more.
You go to a tiny little high school. I think you were the valedictorian of the high school class. And you get a full ride to Notre Dame. You also get a full ride to Wayne State. And you turn them down, both of them, to go to Oakland University. Why, Sandy Pierce?
Well, first of all, I was the salutatorian, not the valedictorian. So I was the second in a very small class. I think there was only 125 people in my graduating class. And between scholarships and grants, because we were financially able to get lots of grants because of our status, our financial status as a family, I was the only one to go to college in my family. And so no one really knew how to mentor me into what schools to go to. And I was a homebody, man. I was attached to my mom and dad. I was very close to my family, and I didn't want to go far away, but I did want to go away. So I said, well, I'm going to select Oakland University. Again, it was covered by grants and scholarships, as was Notre Dame and Wayne State. But I'll tell you what, I went to Oakland University because I wanted to be away, and I lasted 6 weeks, and I missed. Now, in traffic, everybody's probably laughing, because in traffic, that's probably about a 30-minute drive from where we were living in Detroit. And I stayed on campus, and I missed them so much, I couldn't stand it, that I wanted to come home. Now, I'd given up my merit scholarship at Wayne State. I'd given up every other scholarship and grants that I was awarded to other people that were deserving of those as well. And it was the first time that I can remember in my life at that point in time that my mom and dad left the bar, their business, together at the same time. And they drove up to Oakland University after being there for 6 weeks in a brand new red Maverick. And I tear up when I talk about it because they came to get me. Sort of, I failed at this school, not academically, but I just couldn't make it in terms of staying away from home. And I said, what are you guys doing? And my dad said, this car is so that you can drive yourself to Wayne State every day. And I said, but how are we going to pay for that? And he said, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. And they took me home. And I went to Wayne State both for my undergraduate and my graduate degree.
We're talking to Sandy Pierce, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible in a Red Maverick on WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Sandy Pierce, who joined NBD, worked there for 27 years, reached regional executive of the retail Midwest region, but started as a teller. Sandy, being a teller, what did that teach you about banking?
Well, it certainly taught me how to balance a checkbook because I had to help customers. And so it gave me some financial responsibilities pretty early in life because I was only 18 when I started at NBD as a teller. And I was in the old General Motors building when there were still lots of GM executives just across the street here on the Grand Boulevard. And you know what? It really taught me how to deal with people and how to build a rapport with people. And it was funny because I really wasn't a very good teller, but people waited in line for me because I was very talkative. So I definitely was able to establish a rapport. And I think that's when I began to realize that this industry in banking was more than just debits and credits. It really was helping people to save and cashing people's payroll checks so that they could go home and take care of their families, and helping people apply for a mortgage so that they could get into their dream house. And I began to realize if I wasn't going to be a brain surgeon, and I wasn't going to be, that this was a pretty good thing to do for a living because it was an avenue to really reach out and help people, whether it was their house or a small business that they were getting started or saving for their child's college education. And I kind of thought that's kind of a nice thing to do.
20, 30 years ago, Sandy Pierce, the level of talent at NBD was unbelievable. Why?
It's the same thing that happened to so many other banks. We started out NBD as truly a community bank, really anchored in the places where we all lived and work. And so there were a few things that were really important to NBD, and that was to support the individuals and the businesses in the community where our banks were at. And you know, to this day, what I carry is the lesson I learned from MBD, which is you simply cannot have a healthy business unless you have a healthy community. And therefore, the responsibility lies in all of us that are fortunate to have jobs in this area to give back and support the communities where we live and work. And I learned that when I was an employee at NBD, and I'm grateful because those lessons and that passion has stayed with me to this day. So that's why people stayed there. They stayed there because they were very involved. They also stayed there because there was this unwritten employment agreement. And it was you go there and you have a job for life. As long as you perform, and we all did, then you didn't even accept recruiter calls. And so the turnover was very minor, I would say, for years and years and years. And then what happened in the industry, Jack, is what has happened to all of our banks in town. And you just begin to merge and you become a different organization. And JP Morgan Chase, which is what MBD is now, is a great organization. I have nothing negative to say about them. In fact, I think they're just a terrific organization. But you grow and then you change cultures and you change venues and people make different choices.
2005, you leave NBD after 27 years, a Horatio Alger type story there. Why did you go with Charter One of Michigan?
I went with Charter One because the job that I went on, left, it was now 5.5 years ago to come to was a job that did not exist at JP Morgan Chase. And JP Morgan Chase gave me the opportunity by having a lot of different positions, retail, commercial, small business, private banking, and investment, to prepare me for a CEO job. And they just don't have that job classification. So I was able to go to a World Bank because we're owned by Royal Bank of Scotland, called Charter One in the Midwest. We're called Citizens Bank in Mid-Atlantic and in New England. And it was back to a community type banking atmosphere where I was able to really run the bank in Michigan. And that's why I left. And that's the only reason I left. And again, Charter One is very rooted into colleagues, customers, and community. It's the three legs of the stool. It's how I grew up. It's what I believe in. And it's how we behave. And so that's what attracted me. I wasn't really going away from something. I was going to something that I grew up with.
If you go to the American Center, I think it's still called the American Center in Southfield, you go to the 19th floor, you know, corporate headquarters of Charter One, and you meet Maria, the receptionist. And on her desk is a little plaque that says, "The Director of First Impressions." She's the receptionist. Why the Director of First Impressions?
Well, that's because It's Mary. And Mary and Susan both share that desk, and they are the first people that any of our customers, our prospects, or our community leaders see when they come into that building. And so they are the director of first impressions. It's sort of like our tellers in the branches. The first people that you see are the first impression you get of an organization. And so Mary and Susan are truly the directors of the first impression when you walk into our building, which is an American Center Drive address, but at the very top it says Charter One on all four sides, and it costs a lot of money to put it up there. So I would call it the Charter One Center.
All right. I stand corrected. Sandy Pierce, what's your primary role as the president CEO of Charter One of Michigan?
I would say I would break up my position into percentages, and I would say I spend about half of my time in the community, not only working for on the behalf of the not-for-profits that do so many good things every single day for the people that live and work here, but also to help brand Charter One as a bank that does care and does give back. And I would say the other half of my time is spent on every single line of business in our branches, with our commercial prospects and customers, with our colleagues, to really try to get more business for our bank in this town. Because as we grow, we're able to do more. It's just not that complicated. It's simple math. The more money that we make, the more we're able to give back, the more we're able to do for not only individuals, but also for businesses. So I split my time about half and half. Plus, I also have responsibility for Ohio and Illinois, our other Charter One franchises in the Midwest, and I spend some time there as well.
A lot of words out of Washington right now about greedy bankers, etc. Why is it a bank's duty to give back to the community?
I think, you know, financial institutions are certainly the foundation in this country. In fact, in the world, it's how money moves. And so it's a very important part of the fabric of the economy. And when you're that important to how the economy runs, and we found that out a couple of years ago when things started falling apart in the industry, that, you know, when you are that important to the economy, then you certainly have a responsibility, as I said earlier, to make sure that that economy, and I'm talking about not only the global economy, but the local economies, continue to run and run healthy. And so if you don't get involved beyond giving out loans and taking deposits, then it seems to me that you're not fulfilling your responsibility as a corporate citizen. And that isn't just for banks, it's for every company that exists and is making money off of a local town. If you don't give back, the town can't grow, the city can't grow, the county can't grow, the state can't grow, the country can't grow, the world can't grow. So everyone that benefits, you should feel compelled and want to make it better.
We're talking to Sandy Pierce. When we come back, we'll ask her about some of the specific spots that Charter One gives back to this community. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Sandy Pierce, President and CEO of Charter One of Michigan. Sandy, your bank gives back a lot to the community. What are some of the specific costs?
Our signature initiative in this state is called Champions in Action, and we partner with WXYZ TV7. They're our media partner, and what we do is every quarter, Jack, we have a certain cause. And this quarter, it was environmental leadership, environmental impact. And anyone can apply that has an operating budget of less than $1 million and services our local community in that area, in that cause. And then we have a selection committee made up from community leaders and the TV7 and Charter One. I'm not on it. And they look at all the applications and they decide who to select for the quarter. This quarter it was Greening of Detroit. We go with a $25,000 unrestricted check. That's really important to have an unrestricted fund when you're a small nonprofit. And we take the check and we take our media partners and we go and we surprise either the board or the actual recipients of that nonprofit services. So we went to a school in the city of Detroit, and we went to one of the gardens that Greening of Detroit transformed a vacant lot, put this fabulous vegetable and flower garden in this vacant lot next to this school. And we took our check and we went there, and all the third grade and fourth graders, fifth graders were working in the garden early in the morning, 8:30 in the morning last week. We took the check and we took a bunch of people and a bunch of balloons, and we surprised them that they were the champion in action for the third quarter for Charter One. And then what happens is we give them the check, and then we give them lots of volunteer hours because all of our colleagues want to volunteer. And then we also put them in our branches, both on poster boards and in brochures that we give out to every single one of our customers that come into our branches. And then WJR does a public service announcement, and they play it for 3 solid months so that everyone gets to realize how Greening of Detroit, for example, because that's this quarter's champion, is helping at a grassroots level. So, for instance, they serve 40,000 people a year just from their gardens that are planted throughout all of Detroit. Can you imagine 40,000 people from these gardens? And these kids are nurturing these gardens. They're picking the fruits and vegetables. They're taking them to their families. They're taking them to their neighbors. I just can't think of a better thing to do for a living. And then giving out that money, it's just such a rewarding feeling.
Sandy Pierce, in addition to being a husband of Tom and a mom and the president and CEO of Charter One, you're also the chair of the parade company. Tell us about the parade company.
I view the parade company, Jack, as the nonprofit in Southeast Michigan that holds. They hold several events, but their two big events of the year are the fireworks, which we just saw a couple weeks ago, and America's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which we hold on Thanksgiving Day. And to me, the reason the parade company is so special is because it brings together the community. And we can have 1 million people downtown watching the parade or watching the fireworks. They're every shape and size. They're every color. They have different opinions about almost everything, and they have different political views, different religious views, and it doesn't matter, because for that moment in time, they come together in celebration of community, and I love that, and it's why I'm involved.
For 10 years, I've been a distinguished clown.
Thank you.
My dad would say I've been a clown my whole life. Okay. Not distinguished.
I'm not going to comment.
And I totally agree. That one day, that Thanksgiving Day morning, it's all races, creeds, social, economic level. They come together as one. Why is it just that one morning and that one evening for the fireworks? Why not more, Sandy?
I think it's happening more, but not in that large a group. It seems to me that it's not only in this area, but it's sort of all over the world. It seems like you need something that really is a magnet to bring people together. It's been the Red Wings victories. It's been the Tigers World Series wins. We all remember those magical moments where it is a reason to pull together, and it's a magnet. I do think it happens in smaller pockets throughout our city, throughout our region, throughout our state, but not enough. And again, you know, why isn't there more of it? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. I know that when there is a reason to, when there's a crisis or when there's a celebration, then I do see the power of people coming together, regardless of their backgrounds, and pooling together for the right reasons. And so that's why I have faith and hope in this country, because I think when there's a need, we do come together. And when there's a celebration that's worth celebrating, we do come together.
Being a female, why is that an advantage in your role as president, CEO of the bank?
First of all, the banking industry, when I started out, was really a white male-dominated industry. I would contend it probably still is a white male-dominated industry. There's been a lot of progress by women in many industries, but I don't have to repeat the statistics. The statistics still show that women, in many cases, are not getting the kind of compensation that their male counterparts are. I feel very fair in my bank, in my industry, both at my organization now and my previous one. But I will tell you the reason it's been an advantage for me is when you're a female in a male-dominated industry, you automatically stick out. So I used it as I was growing up in the industry to make sure that I was able to get in the door of a prospect or a customer, and that I was able to get a seat at the table in a room full of men. And then being a woman, you're able to do that because you stand out. But then once you're given that opportunity, you've got to show how smart you are, have creative ideas, have solutions, and be, you know, really a good leader of people. Once you show that skill set, then it's, you know, you sort of got to the front of the line. Now you can get the business because of all the things I just said. And so I used it for that. I used it to sort of get to the front of the line, get noticed, and then I turned on my training and my skill set to get the business.
In business today, it's a huge advantage if a person has steel and velvet. Hard charging, high energy, but then the velvet side, you've got to be able to wear well. Women seem to have that in spades. Why?
You know, I'm not a scientist, so I can't answer the biological question, but I really believe that women are born with it. And in this country and in our culture, women have historically, for all of our history, grown up as the caregivers. And even though it's much more balanced today than when my parents were raising the kids in terms of sharing jobs and sharing the children, I just think women, whether they have children or not, have this nurturing inside of them, this nurturing need. And so I believe that that EQ, we call it the emotional quotient, is part of a woman's DNA. Could be wrong, but I feel that way. And I feel that our culture in this country over many, many, many years has only enhanced it. And so I think women in general in the workforce tend to have that EQ quotient. I'm not saying men don't, but I see it more in women than I see it in men.
We're talking to Sandy Pierce, one of the most admired women in the state of Michigan. And when we come back, we'll ask her who she most admires. And I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Sandy Pierce. Sandy, who do you most admire?
My answer to that would be my parents. That would be number one. And secondly, my brothers and sisters, who frankly are the ones that really did make sure that I got my college education, and I ended up my college years, both my undergrad and my master's, without any debt. And so for that, I'll be forever grateful. And I admire people that help when they really don't get anything out of it for themselves. So that's what I learned from all of them, and hopefully I'm carrying that on as I give back. In terms of the business community, I would say Dave Bing. I would say Roger Penske. I would say David Brandon. I would say Bill Young. I would say Mike Feasy, the general manager of WJR.
Why Dave Bing?
Dave Bing is in all of the history books now in Sports Hall of Fame as this fabulous NBA player. And he decided when he went into his own business to locate it right smack in the city of Detroit. And then after that, being still, he decided instead of retiring that he would work for a dollar a year and help the city of Detroit survive and then thrive, and wants nothing out of it except that. So how can you not admire someone that has had such a successful career in athletics as well as in business and isn't going to give up until the city of Detroit comes back?
Why Roger Penske?
Roger Penske runs a very large business, lots of businesses. And I admire Roger because, again, it doesn't matter who he's talking to, what level they are, from where they came. He treats everyone with respect, and he's the type of person that when he is talking with you, he is with you. He's not somewhere else. His head isn't somewhere else. And he drives as hard as anybody I've ever seen drive. And I don't mean his cars. I mean his business, himself. And he expects no one to work any longer hours or any harder than he does. So he sets an example.
Why our own Mike Feasy?
Mike Feasy has soul and passion for not only WJR and all the people that work here, but for the community, and him and I align 150% around the care for what needs to be done in our community. And he befriends everybody that he's in contact with. And so I watch and I learn from how he treats people. And I respect that. And I learn from it.
What have you learned from Eleanor Josaitis?
Eleanor is a quiet leader. And she doesn't tire. And it doesn't really matter how long she's been with Focus Hope. She doesn't give up on the cause. And she is incredible at enticing others into doing what's right for the cause of Focus Hope. So she does it quietly and effectively. And I learned from that as well. There are different styles, and she has a different style than me, but her style is probably more effective than mine, and I really respect her.
What has Ellen Mullally taught us?
Ellen Mullally, who came from a different industry and a different state, he bleeds Ford blood now. I mean, he really does. The Ford blue is in his veins. And he came back to help the company that put the world on wheels survive and thrive in an industry that wasn't popular at all 2 years ago. In fact, was only criticized. And he came to this state with incredible, contagious leadership. So people would follow Alan almost anywhere. And he gets in the trenches and works with the people at Ford Motor. He works extremely well with Bill Ford Jr. and with Edsel, and respects that the Ford name means something more than a vehicle. But he wants to make sure that the vehicle is the best it can be. And beyond the Ford vehicle, he understands that what that name means to this world has a big, long history. And he's going to make sure that he takes care of that with the family and makes it as successful as he's being. I'm telling you, it's incredible.
Dave Brandon.
Dave Brandon, who, as everyone knows, is now at the University of Michigan as the athletic director, ran Domino's Pizza for over 11 years and really was our CEO in charge of Business Leaders for Michigan when it went from Detroit Renaissance to Business Leaders for Michigan. And David, even though everyone knows David's a Republican in terms of political preference, he has this incredible way of pulling people together. It doesn't matter really what political party they're on, to do what's right for what needs to be done. And he makes businesses accountable for to do what's right to accomplish things in Southeast Michigan. In fact, the state of Michigan now with Business Leaders for Michigan. So he was, to me, I watched him, I watched his style and his incredible ability, not only to make Domino's as successful as it is with his leadership team, but also to make Business Leaders for Michigan a statewide organization to help turn around the state with the Michigan Turnaround Plan. And I know he's going to do the same thing for the University of Michigan. Even though my entire family went to Michigan State, I know he's going to be incredibly successful. I have a lot of respect for him and Mary Sue Coleman. But he's just a great leader. He's a great leader.
Florine Mark.
She's a bundle of energy. I would do anything that Florine asked me to do. And she's a great friend, and she took Weight Watchers to a different level as far as I'm concerned. And she always makes sure we all watch what we eat and that we exercise and that we stay healthy. How can you not like Florine Mark?
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
You can do whatever you want to do if you stick to it, if you have initiative, and if you treat everyone with respect. So don't go for the biggest job and the most money. Work your way up and understand, as my parents would say, that everyone that you meet will know something that you do not know. Take advantage of that and get that golden nugget.
The receptionist, Mary, I said, tell me about Sandy Pierce. She said, she's the most approachable boss you'll ever meet in your life. Sandy, thousands of people admire you in this state. Thanks a million for all you do. Please keep it up. Please keep making your mom and dad proud of you.
Anything is possible. Thank you, Jack Krasula.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.